Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Ghana Connect, right here on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Kwaku Asante. And tonight, Ghanaians home and abroad are connecting to discuss this very important matter about the scholarship secretariat. I told you, in the last 2 weeks, the fourth estate, the investigative wing of the Media Foundation for West Africa, have been serializing the kind of documents they got from the scholarship secretariat that details how some called the rot at the scholarship secretariat. And as I've said that, listen, there's not really so much in there to really make the case to claim that many undeserving persons are getting scholarships. So what exactly is the situation? We have a very diverse audience, a very diverse panel to dive right into this conversation. First, listen to this.
Who are beneficiaries of double scholarships?
How? Can you show me that? Because hardly will you have one person doing two programs at the same time.
We have confirmed some.
One person doing two programs?
Different programs.
At the same time?
In the same year.
Oh, what if they are twins?
The same year.
Scholarships, like there were some food that we are sharing to our friends. So, listen, we have some really interesting minds to discuss this important conversation. Connecting with us, I have Seth Bokwe, is a fourth estate journalist. He's part of the team that investigated it. Seth, it's good to have you connect with us on Ghana Connect.
Thank you, too.
Maxwell Edu Techi is a political activist. He's also a legal student. I mean, he's been watching this and he's connecting with us. Maxwell, good to have you connect with us.
Good to have you, Koku.
And Emmanuel Usweje is a student in the United States of America. He'll tell us how he got there, whether he benefited from scholarship. I have some information I don't want to share. He has to tell us that himself. And whether or not he can relate with the stories that have been put out by the fourth estate. Emmanuel Usweje, Minel, good to have you connect with us.
Hi, good to have you as well.
And then in studio, I have Derek Shandofayerebiakwa. He's the news editor at the Wesleyan TV here in Accra, the Methodist Church Ghana's television station here. Pankwesi, good to have you connect with us.
Yes, always a pleasure.
Okay, so let's start right from the fourth estate. They put out this documentation. And in fact, over the last few years, they've been talking about the scholarship secretariat. So what exactly egged them on to do this? Seth, can you tell us the background to this and some of the key highlights you're able to unearth?
Sure, Kuku. Thank you. So in 2021, we had complaints from a lot of applicants to the scholarship secretariat complaining about how they apply for these scholarships, particularly the foreign ones, but do not get it. But they noticed that friends, some of whom did not even apply, in the end will get it. So what we did is to use the right to information law to apply for data from the scholarship secretariat to find out exactly who are those getting the scholarships, the names behind it, the faces behind it. We did this in March 2021. But we, as of May, we didn't hear anything from them. So we had to write to the secretariat again. And their response was that the data we were seeking was confidential. So they had to write to the AG to seek advice on this. We didn't hear anything from then on, so we had to go to the RTI Commission. And eventually the commission intervened, asked them to redact the private data in there, and then release the information. This was in September 2021, but they ended up giving us the information in on February 8, 2022. Now, I must emphasize that this data came in the form of hard copies rather than the PDF formats we asked for. So my colleague, Telma Dedia Medeku, had to type all this out. Our focus was on, we asked for 2019-2020 data because an earlier audit done by the audit service covered 2009 to 2018. And the report indicated that at the time, the Get Fund had taken over the work of the scholarship secretariat. So we eliminated those years from our data. And from what we got, they gave us data on both the local and foreign. We decided to focus on the foreign scholarships, because if you look at the quantum of money that was going in there, it was quite huge. So this is what we found. We found that at least 26, initially we put out 20 names, but ever since we started publishing, we've been able to identify 6 names through public support. At least 26 public office holders, that's politicians, relatives or associates of politicians, diplomats, and our social elites. We also found that at least 17 people received multiple scholarships, either in the same year or in consecutive years. For instance, a beneficiary called Abednego Matias Bonia received in total 81,948 Canadian dollars for a course in postgraduate certificate in project management in 2019, as well as human resource management in 2020. Now, if you do a breakdown, if you convert that money using today's exchange rate of 9.85 CDs per Canadian dollar, you are getting our 807,192 CDs. And that amount can actually pay for students doing MSc project management, 45 of them at UPSC and 39 at KNUSD. That's probably a whole class. We also found that majority of these courses that are on the list, that were on the list, actually in Ghanaian universities and far cheaper, if you look at the data I just mentioned. Then we also noticed that at least 104 of the beneficiaries are yet to return to Ghana. All those, they have signed bonds to return and serve the country. Now, the purpose of every scholarship is to build capacity. And in our case, we said that these scholarships were going to brilliant but needy students. If I could read the mission of the scholarship secretariat, which says that our mission is to utilize government funds, Get Fund, and other donor support for the provision of scholarships to brilliant but needy students and qualified workers at a minimum access cost for human resource development for the purpose of national growth and development. So the expectation is that these people will return. But there is a story to this, and it is just an angle or an aspect of it. There are more. And that's that one aspect I want to put out is the fact that there was a young lady who told us that she went to the UK in January last year. She was supposed to receive a little over 1,300 for her stipend. This was supposed to be paid every quarter, so she'll probably get a little over 4,000 every quarter. But as of March 2023, she got £2,000, which is half of what she was supposed to be given. And that was the last time they gave her anything. So this lady now has a turn to working to survive, and she's a cleaner. And she said she had to put a lot of pressure on the scholarship secretary to be able to pay her fees.
I mean, sir, hold it there for me. I think you've laid a really good premise for which we can start this conversation and then get back into some of the specifics that you've provided. Really detailed analysis of the work that the Ford Estate have been doing there. Thank you very much, sir. I'll come back to you. Please hold it there for me shortly. But Maxwell Edutech, you listen to the Ford Estate journalists tell you about the work they've done and how politicians, ambassadors, children of politicians, persons so connected to power, persons who would ordinarily be considered as affluent, scrambling over scholarship, when so many quote unquote poor students just can't have access. Do you agree with the analysis that, listen, there's some rot going on there that we must all get into?
Very well, Kwaku. Thank you for the opportunity. If I listen to my brother Seth in making his submission, I believe he is a journalist and they did these findings. But to my utmost surprise, it looks like they had a personal agenda behind these findings they did. The reason why I am putting it into this perspective is that we had over 2,000 people having foreign scholarship in the year 2021. Now, you are putting it out here from his analysis. He said there were 17 people who had double scholarship. And I agree with him from that angle. And all this while, you know, my argument has been the case that I don't see the rot going on at the secretariat. However, my challenge has to do with people who in the first place receives multiple scholarships. And not even coming from just the scholarship secretariat alone. Now, we have multiple scholarships or institutions giving scholarships to students. We have the GMPC scholarship through the GMPC Foundation. We have the Ghana Gas scholarship. We have the Get Fund. And we have the scholarship secretariat itself. Now, the challenge here is the case where students get scholarship sometimes two or in fact more than necessary one that they are supposed to have from each of these institutions. And I think that is the focus where we need to talk about and make sure these things are collectively done in a way that students wouldn't be able to receive multiple scholarships. And I agree with that argument. But for us to target some individuals that these people are affiliated to this politician. But my brother, when we are paying taxes in this country, we don't look at your affiliation. And mind you, if you are filling the scholarship secretariat form, it doesn't ask for your party affiliation. It doesn't ask for anything like that. So it will be very difficult for you to distinguish who is affiliated to a politician or not. And my point is that there should be a comprehensive act that will regulate the scholarship secretariat. And that is the point we are all refusing to get. We are missing out that point. Because if you are saying we should have brilliant but needy, trust me, needy is very subjective. Someone who is, let's assume, receiving 5,000 cedis per month will get a scholarship to pay about even £1,000 in any foreign institution. How are you expecting such a person on a 5,000 salary monthly to pay for that money.
Okay, okay. So I see the point. I see the point you make there, Maxwell. And hold it there for me. I'll come back to you. Maxwell seemed to make a good point there, Shandov, don't you think? That, listen, because persons are affiliated to politicians, does not mean they can't benefit from scholarship. And that, even if you were supposed to hold that outlandish claim to be true, that is just a small proportion of the number of students who have gotten scholarships. So he just makes a point that for the statement, I've just targeted some of these persons to make a point that, in fact, it's not realistic to the conversation. Whilst he agreed that there must be reforms, he doesn't believe that this journalistic piece really makes the cut. You agree with him, certainly, don't you?
Well, there's a modicum of truth in the submissions of
Entirely true.
I did say a modicum of truth.
But I'm trying to say that it should be entirely true.
Not entirely. And then there is also an iota of reasonability in the earlier submissions that were advanced by Seth, and indeed in the generality of that publication. So in commenting on this issue, I think I would want my knife to cut into the butter and then, you know, slice it both ways, because there are two sides of the coin. And I'm going to start first off with Maxwell's argument. And I think we've even had that interaction on a similar platform before. Indeed, there is no stated body of regulations that governs the disbursement of scholarships, I mean, at that particular secretariat.
It's just a little bit of common sense that if someone is a politician who earns 30,000 Ghana cedis,
I am coming. In any administrative process or in any administrative framework, if there are no regulations, you cannot enforce compliance. In the absence of stated regulations, what would now become the order of the day is discretion. That is, if you don't have absolute rules and regulations. At the secretariat, you are making the point that, well, you would expect them to apply common sense in the absence of, you know, regulations. But the application of common sense is indeed subjective. And that is why I get the point of his argument. If someone is making 5,000 Ghana cedis a month, and the person is supposed to be living in this particular economy amidst all the, as it were, all the demands, and the fellow wants to study outside, and the person is expected to pay in excess of $29,000. How long is the person going to save from that 5,000 Ghana cedis before that person will be able to, as it were, educate himself in that particular institution? So that fellow, as even though the fellow may be employed, the person may be actively engaged economically, within the context of the cost to be satisfied, that individual becomes a needy student. So the construing or the unpacking or the characterization of needy should not just be about, no disrespect, a certain rural boy in a certain community whose parents, once again, I'm saying it advisedly, sell maybe charcoal by the roadside. That characterization of needy is even a very selfish characterization, because sitting here as of now, I mean, when anybody sees me, I'm in a jacket, I'm wearing a tie, I have a spectacles, but when I came, I had to feed on
money.
I had to feed on the rice you provided me when I came here. The whole day I had not eaten. But if anybody saw me in public, the person will feel that, and a boy, wait, looking at the way he has dressed, they say, Cecilia, you understand. So the characterization of needy is what we must put clarity to. The only way we can put clarity to it is by wiring out and fashioning out clear-cut legislations. But having said that, it does not also mean that really there is no opacity and corruption at the secretariat. Indeed, there is. There is, and that extent of corruption is not even something that is, you know, tied to the current regime alone. Back then in the NDC era, we had similar stories. I mean, it is just a cracked political system where opportunities such as this are often used as reward mechanisms for, you know, party faithful. And that is a fact. I took my time to look at the list. And some of the people, I mean, we know them personally. And when I looked at it, it was very telling how a lot of them are connected to persons in the current, you know, government. And that is what lends credence to the fact that then it has become a mechanism for political reward. So it is indeed the case that yes, there is an abuse, okay? There is an abuse of the system where politicians and other people who are well-placed and highly profiled in the country are milking the opportunities which ordinarily should have been extended to the generality of the populace. So yes, there's abuse to an extent. But then away from the abuse, we should also be mindful of the fact that somebody who is needy is not someone who is working, all right? As you are here, I mean, your earnings I do not have the facts, but it may trip into 9,432 Ghana cedis a month and all of that. That's okay. But if you want to apply for a scholarship, Kweku, and they are asking you to pay £80,000 a month,
that's not the reason why student. The questions have been that, listen, if you are going to give somebody scholarship $50,000 to go and do MBA administration, why's University of Ghana Business School does the same thing here, 15,000 cedis? Why are you paying £50,000 for that person? Why you could pay, and Seth makes that point, why you could pay for 50 different students to do the same course at the UGB?
There is the reason why in buying your shirts, and I know where you normally like to buy your outfits, there's a reason you prefer that expensive boutique at UPSA. When actually, when you move a few steps to Circle, you can actually get the same garments. Preference should be respected. Apart from the respect for preference, apart from
that means you can afford it. The preference. Expensive shops, but if I want to buy from expensive shops, then I should be able to afford it.
The
national cake
to satisfy your preference. I won't have you pin me on this one. It was just the opening of the conversation. So there is the argument of preference. But apart from preference, which of course is a lighter matter, there is also the issue of quality. Kweku, can we sit in here and all those on board this conversation, can we compare somebody who has received training at Harvard to another person who has maybe been schooled in the same course in Ghana? Yes. You may not be able to do so because
there are lawyers trained in Ghana who are kicking it against persons trained in the Ivy League.
Are you making the case that our institutional outfits here are as qualitative as the Ivy League institutions?
The answer is no. Level of quality education.
It cannot be compared to the quality that is dispensed outside of our borders. That is the point. So if our local the institutions in our local jurisdictions were so robust and they were churning out, you know, rigorous outcomes, I don't think anybody would want to go to those, you know, Ivy League institutions in the first place. So all of this perhaps beg the question. I mean, it facilitates the conversation on why we should maybe make our education here more qualitative. So in wrapping up, like I did indicate, I think it goes both ways. Yes, there are no stated and stipulated regulations, but we must apply a bit of, you know, convenient discretion and empathy in the disbursement. However, we shouldn't also insist forcefully that because the categories of people who have been given the scholarships are, as it were, well-to-do in our estimation, they do not deserve it. They are Ghanaians, they pay taxes, and therefore we should consider them as well.
When you ended, you talked about how, I mean, quality education answer. One of the persons who's also run out of the country, he did his undergraduate here at the University of Ghana, Legon. He's now in the United States doing a postgraduate degree. Emmanuel, welcome to the conversation. And you're one of those who run out of the country. You could do your master's course at UGBS. You decided that you want to go and do it in the United States of America. Sandoff tried to cut it both ways to say that, listen, there are questions to be answered about politically exposed persons, but still insists some way, somehow, that, listen, these are persons who are still citizens who maybe prefer a certain level of education outside the country, and so we should cut some slack. I want to know where you stand in the middle of this conversation.
Yes, Kweku, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak on this show. I think that, I mean, when I saw the Fourth Estate publication, you know, what definitely came in mind, and I was actually discussing with one colleague of mine in the office, is that currently, if you look at the growth of democracy and you know, like the role that the media plays in, I mean, like the development of democracy is actually very key. And I was actually very happy when I saw, I mean, like these findings, you know, it proves that the media is also, you know, contributing to the space of the development of democracy in Africa. Again, I'm also looking at it in a, you know, like different angle, because I'm looking at how the population of the world is growing, and especially when it comes to the growth of Africa, and, you know, like Ghana definitely fits in. If you look at what India is doing, India is actually adding 1 million to the world population every month. So if you come to the University of Memphis, if you go to any other university in the world currently, and in the US and in Canada, you definitely find lots of Indian, students from India who are definitely doing engineering or some related IT, program. And looking at the whole argument around the scholarship secretariat, GNPC and all those, I think that sometimes maybe we may also want to take that argument from there, that what are the programs that, some of these students are doing outside Ghana, that definitely needs, funding. Because if you look at some of the bilateral scholarship, agreements between the government of Ghana and, let's say, Russia, Cuba and all those, these are streamlined programs. So Cuba, like this, we definitely have students from Ghana reading medicine. In Canada, and also, especially even with Russia, you definitely have students reading oil and gas, or some related security programs. So these are streamlined courses that I believe that, looking at how our population is growing, and also in Africa, and definitely in Ghana, some programs that the government of Ghana may want to sponsor should be streamlined. I wouldn't agree that someone comes to the University of Memphis on Ghana scholarship to read history, to read English, to read French, or to read, something that definitely you would definitely find in the University of Ghana. I think that some of the arguments also, we must not lose the focus of the importance of international education, because most definitely we have seen the importance of international education in the world. And the leaders, because you mentioned Harvard, if you take a student from McGill, if you take a student from, say, Ontario, or from UCL, you definitely know that these are, better and quality students that every year these universities, do churn out. So I think that we may also want to look at that, because you may say that, okay, why pay a £28,000, MBA course in the University of Aberdeen, whilst you can do an MBA, say, in the University of Ghana Business School, which is, to me, totally different, because definitely we will be looking at outcomes. But then also, I have seen people come out to say, oh, they paid 80,000, they paid that to gain Ghana scholarship benefit. I think that we have institutions in Ghana, because Ghana is a democratic state. It's not like any state like Venezuela or anywhere where you have, features of, non-democratic institutions. We have democratic institutions in Ghana. We have SRAJ, we have IOKO, we have all those. I think all these allegations, if possibly, fourth estate can write to IOKO, write to SRAJ, write to any other law enforcement authority or any criminal enforcement authority in Ghana, people who claim that they have paid bribes to secure government scholarships can definitely report these issues. And I think I listened to the international relation officer of the Ghana Scholarship Secretariat yesterday, saying that they are under investigation. They are actually being investigated on their accounts and all those. So once these allegations, and once the media has been able to do this better job, I believe that definitely these institutions that we have in Ghana, because they are working institutions, will definitely take over. You understand? So what is my argument? My argument is that we are at a growing stage in terms of our contribution to the world. I've heard lots of people talk about Africa. We're doing this, we're doing that. But sometimes you may want to look at our human population, our human resource development, our trade. What is even our trade index? How much are we contributing to the world trade that, we always talk about Africa? Apart from the gold, apart from that, what is our critical contribution to the world trade? And I think through education, through international education, governments what I've mentioned, like India is doing and Ghana is doing, can definitely, create better students.
Okay.
Train better human resource for us to contribute to the development of the world. And
I like where you end there, and I think that it's a good point to not bring in Seth back again to respond to the concerns that have been shared around the table, especially by Maxwell Editechi, who talks about the fact that maybe he might just have been a setup. Because said, I don't know how you respond to the fact that scholarship secretaries, they've offered tens of thousands of scholarships or hundreds of them. But there are just a select few that are just politically connected. But even that argument will still hold for those people who say that, listen, my father may be Freddie Blay, and in your investigation, you found out that one daughter of Freddie Blay benefited from a scholarship. But maybe for this particular scholarship, I just couldn't afford it. And I applied for a scholarship like anybody else as a citizen, and I got it. How do you respond in defending the quality of the work you did?
Thank you very much, Pepe. Point number one, it is not true that we got data of more than 2,000 names in the scholarship data. No, it is not true. In fact, we had 1,531 names. Out of that, 966.
For which year? Not to cut you, for which year?
This was for 2019-2021. And I will explain the context to you. Maybe it will help better for you to get the explanation. 1,531 names.
Sorry not to cut you, but I want you to be specific. Is this for the year 2019 and 2020?
I mentioned that earlier, that our focus was in 2019 and 2020.
So you mean to say that from 2019 to 2021, the foreign scholarship was about
2019 and 2020. That's the focus year.
Okay.
Yes. And they gave the list, 1,531. Only 966 were relevant to our analysis, because the remaining, they had nothing attached to them, no value attached to them. How do you give me, for instance?
Yes. Not to cut you. You know, I think when you listen to my earlier submission, I actually mentioned that. I mean, the media is actually doing very well. And to be honest with you, you guys are really trying. But then I also didn't get something here, because I mean, and good you're actually on this show, because
perhaps when I land, you'll get it.
I mean, like you just give me.
So,
I mean,
Emmanuel,
like,
let's give him that opportunity. Let him explain what he's trying to explain, and then I think we can come around the table and ask some more.
That's okay. Right. Yeah.
Out of 1,531 names on the list, only 966 are relevant to us, because the remaining names, they had no values, no amount attached to them. For instance, somebody's name was captured as Abla. That's it in the data. There was a student who was supposed to have gone to a year abroad for French. We don't know how much they spent on them. That's it. That's all there was to the data. I don't know how anyone expects us to give relevance to that data if the variables we are researching are not part of it. That is one. Two, for the part of the political expediency, I'll give you a classic example. So Dr. Dennis Addo, he got the Master's in Public Administration at Harvard. In 2019, the same year, another person, Evelyn Nyako, GIPC, got the same course. Dr. Addo got $50,031. Evelyn Nyako got half of that, a little over 25,000. Can you explain to me what informed that amount?
Sorry, Seth, apart from interrogating what informed the amount.
Please let me land. At least when you were speaking, I was not interjecting.
No, but it's important we set a particular record straight, okay, for the purposes of clarity. While you are interested in, as it were, justifying or seeking to understand.
While you are seeking to understand the essence of the disbursement, the names that you have mentioned, I just want to know, just for clarity purposes, did you by any means interrogate them to assess that indeed they were in need? Because I'm saying that point is important. If somebody receives a scholarship and in your estimation from your decks or from your impressions, you feel that this fellow does not qualify, you are supposed to convince us beyond reasonable doubt that Shandorf or Michael or Kweku Asante, blah, 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 were not in need. But if we have not established that fact, then, I mean, journalistically, don't you think it becomes perceptive? So you are perceiving their well-to-do, but it is not something that has been grounded in fact. I want to find out if all the individuals they published, they took the effort to find out if they were in need, really. I think that clarity should be so put.
Set.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the question from Shandorf.
So is Shandorf telling us that Ghana's highest paid are those in desperate need? That is question one. Two, I don't see how I need to convince him. I don't see how I need to convince him on how Dr. Ado, the owner of Clarong Hospital, located at Airport Residential Area, a board member of the National Health Insurance Authority, at the time he got the scholarship, is in need. I don't see how he can convince me that Freddie Blaise's daughter, Lucy Blaise, is in need. Her father is the board chairman of the GMPC, co-owner of the Daily Guide newspaper.
Come on.
Let me land. Shandorf, hold on, guys. No. Shandorf, please, your microphone is off. Shandorf, please hold on. I'll come back to you shortly. Seth is explaining. But I think because there's a little bit heat around the table, it's perhaps a good... I mean, Seth, hold it there. Seth, if you can hold on for me. Seth, please hold on for me. Mike, Maxwell, please hold on for me. And Emmanuel, also hold on for me. Shandorf, hold on for me. We have a few messages so that we can get back into the conversation about the future, what exactly should happen, and how should we resolve this. Please, some of the messages that have come in are quite interesting. So let's try and see what exactly the people of Ghana think about this raging controversy. So Mike listening from Acho says, guys, I heard some time ago from a friend who applied for a scholarship from the secretariat that he would have to give them a percentage for them to process this scholarship application. Please tell Maxwell that the people at the top do contact them and the details aren't always needed on the application. This is sad. And from Sprinter Road, Mike Hachu says the granting of scholarship application should be based on the financial background of the applicant, a level playing field, adverse plays in the media, and transparency in the selection of candidates. Mike Hachu sent us that one. And then Kweku, you see how Maxwell succeeded in twisting the issues to defend the rot at the scholarship secretariat? If the youth of our days are comfortable with that, I mean, that's the message he says. Let me see the name of the persons sending this name. So, a number of messages having come in. That is Kwame from Togome. A lot of messages about what they feel about the specific situation about the scholarship secretariat and how we can remedy it. So, let me come around the table again. And we just have about 8 minutes before Andy Dusty takes over the seat or the library. So, let me come to you, Maxwell. You've heard the explanations that Seth has given. Clearly,
listening to Seth, right, and I think in my earlier submission, I made it, known that I think they had an agenda. You see where he started the conversation. I am all up for it that we need to do our best as a country to make sure we do the right thing. There is no ambiguity about that. But my problem with whatever findings they did was to target some individuals. Now, this same scholarship secretariat, they have hired means to decentralize scholarship before you have to apply it to the central secretariat before you are given a scholarship. They have hired means to decentralize it to the various municipalities and district assemblies. Now, you don't have to apply all the way to Accra alone before you are selected for this scholarship. You can apply wherever you are. You go for interview. You first do your aptitude test. Go for interview in your locality, your district or municipal assembly. before you have been awarded this scholarship. Now, they don't see the relevant part to talk about this development. There is this one guy, Thomas Amweni, from Adelso, who had scholarship. Someone from Adelso Presbyterian Senior High, now in London School of Economics. This scholarship secretariat we are talking about has impacted in so many lives. I agree if you are saying there are some people who obviously shouldn't benefit from it. Fine. And that one, we have to even put it in a certain perspective context. You understand? But not to generalize and make it look like there is a certain rot at the secretariat. And from their findings, I find it very difficult to accept any rot going on. Like I said earlier, there are people who are taking double scholarship from GMPC. They will go to scholarship secretariat, go to Ghana Gas. And these people, these are the things we must speak against.
But even Maxwell, even at the Ghana Scholarship Secretariat itself, the person are getting the double scholarship. In 2019, someone gets, say, £50,000. While the program is still subsisting, they get another one. You hear the scholarship secretariat boss there at the start of the program talk about maybe they are twins. Of course, they are not. But Maxwell, thank you very much. Please hold it there for me. Emmanuel, where do we go from here? There's still a lot of distrust and mistrust in the system. If you follow the conversation, where do we go from here? How do we role play this, amend the way we do our things, and make sure that persons who genuinely deserve scholarship get it? Because whether you like it or yes, we all know about persons who've gone to the scholarship criteria who've just not getting any proper reception, but they were really needy.
Kweku, thank you. You know, so my initial point was that journalism is actually doing very well. But I think that, I mean, what the Fourth Estate actually did, and when I read a news article, was actually, I didn't even get to know that they had a list of over 1,000. The only thing that we read on their website was that they actually published a list of 100 names who were politically affiliated. But I think that, I mean, possibly for any ordinary person...
And not to even country, Kweku, that was false. That was false. Yeah. What he said, that then, it was 1,000, it's more than that. Because in 2019...
So when you put out the news...
We're giving false information then. If when you, what you are saying is right, then we were giving false information, which is actually a crime under the right to information law.
Sorry, can I lie?
They were relying on information provided by the crime.
The right to information law says if you give me what I asked for and it turns out to be false, it's a crime.
So what I'm saying is, it wasn't false, but because of how you were creating it,
because 2019 alone, they gave foreign scholarship 1,379.
Okay, guys, we have just about 4 minutes to leave. So let Emmanuel make his point. I'll go to Seth in a minute, then Shandov will have the last word in studio.
Okay, so...
So what
I'm saying is that if I read a news article like that on Fourth Estate, then definitely I would say that maybe the article was crude, or maybe Fourth Estate had an interest in publishing this or whatever. But then going forward, I think that, I mean, as journalists, or maybe as like the media contribution to the growth of our democracy, maybe we can do better.
Okay. Minel, I see the point you make there about how we can all come around the table and resolve this. Thank you very much. Please hold it there for me. I just have about 3 minutes to leave. So let me give Seth the penultimate word to you, Seth. You've heard the criticism from around the table. What cue are you taking? And in the future, I mean, tomorrow, are we to expect more data from the Fourth Estate as you keep analyzing the data? Because you're not giving PDF documents. You're giving hard copies that you've had to pour through to be able to bring something out. What are we to expect?
You started releasing the news. But a little clarification, though. Somebody said that the scholarship has been decentralized. Let me tell him that the foreign scholarship have not been decentralized. It is done at the head office of the scholarship secretariat. It hasn't been decentralized. That's what I have to say. Secondly, that point about the fact that we targeted a few people cannot be true. In any research, when you see a pattern, when you see a certain pattern, you report it. And that is the essence of it. Now, the scholarship secretariat, a clear blueprint on its website says that it is supposed to support its mission, support brilliant but needy students and workers at an affordable minimum rate. Is he telling
and
me?
I told you earlier, needy is perspective, and it's very subjective.
81,000
If you
Canadian,
say needy, it
Canadian
is very
dollars
subjective.
For somebody who got two scholarships,
is
the minimum.
Okay, guys. Okay, guys.
Is that minimum?
And you see
okay,
your point.
Okay,
the
oh, Maxwell, hold it there for me. Maxwell, please hold it there for me. Good point. That
minimum,
said. So let's, Maxwell. Let's set Ram. Set, can you please do this for me in the next 20 seconds, 30 seconds, so that I can give the last.
He made a false statement by saying
the foreign scholarship
donated someone who donated 275.
Yeah, but it's a fact that Freddie Blay donated more than 200. But I see the point. I see the point you make there. The Zoom mics can now go off. And let me come to Sanof on this and then see. Sanof, 1 minute.
Right. The point I made initially is the very same I would reiterate at this point, that indeed there's a certain degree of opacity at the scholarship secretariats that is incontrovertible. We all know. But then in seeking to as it were impugn the integrity of people, the facts must be lucid. They must not be questionable. And that is the question I was posing to Seth, that if you publish a list of people and you brand them out, you characterize them as people who do not deserve a particular gesture or privilege.
I don't think they really said
you
that, but they really
be,
put it out
well,
there
that is
people
the,
to
let's,
make their
let's,
own
let's, let's not belabor the point. That is the essence. Okay, that is the essence of the publication, that those people are well-placed and properly situated in finances in society, and therefore they don't deserve it. But if you want to conclude on that, you should be able to prove to us that indeed they were not needy. That is why they are not deserving. So to conclude, I think indeed, yes, again, we need a regime to properly regulate the disbursement, because if there are no regulations, you cannot enforce any form of compliance. Mm. That's
how we wrap the conversation here on Ghana Connect. Of course, outside of a legal regime, because people have called for it, Dr. Park and all those persons, of course, there's still some guidelines, and Seth mentions it about how you must give it to persons who are needy, a certain sense of it. But around the table, there's a sense that needy is still a very, very subjective word. So that if someone wants $100,000, they are maybe rich in Ghana cities, but not rich in dollars. So they can probably lay claim to that. My own point is, listen, there's so many scholarships I've seen. People who are going to school outside to go and do media relations. UPSA can do that. UG is doing it. Kempa is doing it. Give a lot more of this money to local institutions to build more capacity so that we can do it. Let's send our students on scholarship to places where they really need it and places where we don't have the expertise to do that. Andy Dusty is up next with the library. My name is Kweku Asante, and you've heard from Sanof Ayerebiakwa, Pakwesi Sanof. You've heard from Maxwell Edutechi. You've heard from Seth Bokwe. He's part of the team, the crack team that did this brilliant piece that has been getting the country talking for the last 2 weeks. And then Emmanuel Owusu-Eje did his undergraduate in the country. He's run away. He's in the U.S. now. Andy Dusty is up next with the library. The best in town. You don't have to miss it this Friday, as always. Hanima Yeko, I'll see you again next week. My name is Kweku Asante.
In every society, it is always the collective thinking that opportunities be provided for those who don't have. And so scholarships should be targeted at them.
I think a scholarship legislation is so eminent.
I think they should identify the gaps our human resource needs.
Looking into the future, I think a scholarship legislation is so eminent, and that will set out everything that we need to do, or how the funds need to be.